I was telling Father King right before the Mass, I asked him if he'd been to the Holy Land, and he said he had. And I said to him, it was one of the thrills of my life to be on this sea, which has two names, Gennesaret and Galilee. Anybody been there in the assembly? Raise your hand. Uh-oh. There's one, we think. Okay, my prayer for you is that you get a chance to go to the Holy Land. Because I told Father King, I said, there is no arguing over the location of that place. Some of the sites in Jerusalem are traditional sites. You know, we think Jesus was here or there. But you can't argue about the Sea of Galilee. And to put your feet in that water, I'll never forget it. It's just a peak experience. So today we have some action happening there. But before I talk about the gospel, I just want to say something about guardian angels. It's a thrill to be back here. I didn't properly introduce myself. I'm Father Jim Ackerman, and my brother is Chuck here in the first row. I see my Aunt Kay and my Uncle Jim and my sister-in-law Christine there in the first row, looking very nice. I have a niece here, Charlotte. Hope she doesn't mind me recognizing her. She's in the eighth grade. And all those things together brought me here today, including the dance tonight, which I think is a marvelous occasion. As I indicated earlier, it's a thrill, I think, for fathers to have some special time with their daughters. And hopefully it's a thrill for the daughters to have special time with their dads. And I love the girls here helping me. I should say the young ladies. Thank you. Look at the crowd here. All the altar girls and the readers, it's okay if you don't have the microphone on. You're learning. I love that. There's something pure and innocent and spectacular to behold when you see young people engaging their faith and making an effort to participate. So I salute all the girls here tonight who are participating, and of course the boys. But tonight we give the girls a little special accent, as they should have that tonight. The church here. I was a parishioner here for 24 years. Sat over here, and one thing that stayed the same is the stained glass behind me. I remember looking at that stained glass during difficult times. We all have those times growing up, and just looking at the sun coming through the stained glass, and it gave me a real sense of peace, I must say. And I always thank God. I said, Lord, thank you for my mom and my grandma and my brothers and my life, because I think that gave me some peace throughout turbulent teens, as we all have those days. And I thank God for my dad, too, of course. But today we acknowledge, as I said earlier, the fathers and the daughters. But looking at this church, it's kind of a voluminous building, isn't it? We're not filling the whole thing tonight. I think that adds to the intimacy, perhaps, but I do kind of feel like I'm shouting into the Grand Canyon here. Everybody out there? I'm not prepared to work the aisles here, so I'm going to stay up here. But I'm reminded of the architecture of churches. You know what part of the church you're sitting in is called? The long part that goes out, kind of the rectangular section. Anybody? It's a nave, N-A-V-E. You're sitting in the nave of the church. The apse is the back. But nave, that comes from the word naval, as in ship and sailing. And I think one of the designs was that the church would be like a big boat. The irony is that you're in a boat that's upside down. Seriously, if you look at the architecture, some of them have a curved ceiling. It's not exactly curved here, but you can imagine you're kind of like on that movie, The Poseidon Adventure, where the boat, the ocean liner, turns upside down. What's that going to do with our faith? Well, in some ways, being a faithful Catholic, a faithful Christian, is like living one's life upside down. When it conflicts with conventional wisdom and a popular culture. So I think that the metaphor fits our faith. Perhaps we are sitting in an upside-down situation as we go forth and practice our faith, which is often critiqued or viewed as countercultural. So I just want to throw that out as I look out at you. Today we have kind of a counterintuitive urging from Jesus, which is to go deep. you could say the practicality of a fisherman meets up with the spirituality and the idealism of Jesus. You yourselves probably face that challenge at times, how to live one's life practical, but also how to live one's life spiritually devoted to God and to Jesus. They don't always mix easily. Sometimes things come between us trying to practice our faith. But today, Jesus says, let it go. And our girls don't need to know me to remind them of that song from Frozen. Let it go. Was it Elsa or Anna who had to let it go? Their fears, their worries. I think one retired to an ice castle somewhere in the upper regions of the North Pole, only to eventually melt. I think that's what the sequel should be called, Melted. It's in the works. It's even a Broadway musical, Frozen. That just came to me. I think we're called to let it go today. But looking at the text, get in your boats. That's the first step. The second step is to let Jesus in your boat. And I don't have to tell you that if you're in a boat and someone tries to climb in, it's a little dangerous, isn't it? You don't want to tip over. You know, it wobbles. It's like, oh, watch out. We might capsize, flip over, God forbid, sink. But Jesus gets in the boat, and he starts rocking that boat, so to speak. I love the interaction between him and Peter, and that's really the focus of the gospel, is that Jesus, I think, is subtly recruiting Peter. And poor Peter, he reminds me of me. Maybe he reminds you of yourself with doubts and fears. But hopefully we have that ticket that Jesus really admires, humility. And poor Peter says, Master, we've been out here all night. How do you expect us to catch any fish? And then Jesus says, Peter, get over it. Go out deep. You haven't gone far enough. You haven't taken enough chances. You haven't risked enough. You haven't abandoned your old paradigm. I saw a bumper sticker that I like to remember. It said, subvert the dominant paradigm. I think Jesus challenges us to do that. Subvert that dominant paradigm, which says, stay shallow. What a great message to carry with us as we go forth, which is to go deep. But I don't blame Peter. He didn't get to become a successful fisherman for not being smart. But as I said, here, practicality isn't cutting it. They haven't caught anything. Their bait hasn't been attractive enough. They haven't found the right spot. They're hugging the shore out of probable fear. So today, Jesus says, go deep. And I think it's for all of us to learn to watch our presumptions, right? To not assume that we have it all figured out. And good old Peter, at first he says, I don't want to do that. We already tried going out last night. But then he says, but if you say it's okay, I'll take a risk. So to Peter's credit, he has the second part of that response. Lord, if you grant it, let's go. So they go. They embark, just like you have embarked on your life of faith. And these young girls tonight in eighth grade are setting out. They have a big year next year. High school beckons. And girls, I'm sure that's kind of scary, isn't it? A little bit. They're used to being king of the hill here. Eighth graders, wow, you're the top dog here. But next year, you'll be the bottom. Don't be fearful, girls. You're on the edge of putting your faith into action. And those of you who were confirmed, which I think all of you, you have been given power to overcome fears, the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the basic message of confirmation. And you elected to do it, right, girls? I hope. You weren't forced into it. You made an election to take more responsibility for your faith. And here you go. You're going to be putting that faith to test in August when you go off to high school, wherever that will be. So we can't presume, girls. Disaster. Presume great growth, love, and lots of opportunity will come your way as we put our boats out to sea, literally and metaphorically. A song came to mind when I was preparing this homily. It was the number one song in 2011. It's sung by a singer named Adele. The song, Rolling in the Deep. Anybody remember that song, Rolling in the Deep? I would say most of the adults, I don't know if the girls are too young to remember Adele. She kind of retired at age 25. Wouldn't that be great? The song is called Rolling in the Deep, and Adele, they say, she could have named the song another line that's repeated, which is, we could have had it all. But that would have been fairly typical and sound like another song sung by Whitney Houston. So Adele went with this British phrase, rolling in the deep. What does it mean? She told Rolling Stone magazine, rolling in the deep is an adaptation of a kind of slang slur phrase in the UK called roll deep, which means to have someone always, to have someone at your back, to know you're never on your own. Someone who has your back, sorry, that's a big difference. Rolling the deep, it's when you have somebody who has your back, who supports you through thick and thin. And I'd like to think that fathers have their daughters always at their back to support them. Just like, no doubt, girls, your father will always have your back. You too can roll in the deep, knowing as long as you live, until you live all your life and take your last breath, your father will love you unconditionally and will have your interest at heart, just like you will have his. No doubt. So I think the song is very fitting to today on several levels. Rolling in the deep. Adele sang about that relationship that she nourished. Unfortunately, it left her. And the song is written in somewhat of a lament, hoping that she'll be able to roll deep sometime in the future. But let's roll deep with not only our blood father, but our Father in heaven, God. Can we do the same to know, girls and boys and men and women, that we always have someone at our back, which is Jesus and our Lord? He tells us to go deep, not to set us up for disaster, for capsizing, to sink. No, he sets us up to go deep to catch more faith and more followers. I want to always tweak that gospel. Soon you'll be catching men, I always want to say, and women. Of course, we can do both. How can we live a life where we're attractive to others? People say, how do you evangelize the people to come into the Catholic faith? I say, by example. I think it was Francis or Augustine said, preach, and if necessary, use words. Fathers can do that by their love for their daughter, by coming to church, and their daughters hopefully will follow. Fathers, you can learn from your daughter. What can you learn? You can learn about hopefulness, possibility, potential, all those wonderful things that these young girls offer the world. So both of you can learn from each other. But I love the idea of having each other's back. I don't want to go too long here, but I found a poem. Girls, this is for you. And it says, titled, What is a Father? He's strength and security, laughter and fun, a prince to his daughter, a pal to his son, a great storyteller, teller and mender of toys, who's seldom dismayed by his family's noise. He's an everyday Santa who brings home surprises, the man to consult when a problem arises, as eager a worker as ever they'll be, who wants all the best for his whole family. He's a loving instructor who struggles to teach his child to achieve all the goals one could reach. And he knows in his heart that it's worth all the bother when he hears his daughter say, that man, that's my father. So you all have someone to roll deep with, your father or your daughter, and everybody else here has someone too, I'm sure. But I want to make sure that we get that relationship recognized, as I've done here. And of course, a third person who can roll deep with is Jesus. Can we celebrate today this deep love, unfathomable, bottomless? Even when we roll, he's with us. And not to presume we will catch nothing, be hungry, or be marooned. You're not the Titanic. The problem with the Titanic is it probably got too big for itself and wasn't able to lower or evacuate its lifeboats. There weren't enough. That's a sad thing. Maybe the message here is to lower your lifeboats. It will save you. Jesus says, lower your inhibitions, lower your fears, let go. Lower your lifeboats into the deep water and go for it. When I was a boy, my father helped me learn how to swim. I have a picture that I keep. It's me with an actual life jacket on in a swimming pool. Kind of ironic, but that's what he used to get me to go into the deep water. And I remember that. Dads are good at pushing up children when they need to be pushed. Had he not pushed me into the deep end, maybe I never would have learned how to swim. But he was smart enough to give me that orange life jacket as a, I don't know, reassurance. But ultimately, he knew I needed to be able to swim in deep water. And he was right. Just like each of you know, we can't always stay in the shallow end. There's another cliche, I guess I'm full of them today. A ship is safer in the harbor, but it wasn't meant to stay in the harbor. It needs to go out and sail those rough seas. So in conclusion, I hope that we get this idea of humility as kind of the first step to growth. Peter had it, and that was his saving grace. And we all know what happened to Peter. He became the first pope, if you will, of the church. When Jesus said, I want you to go forth and I will build my church and you are the rock. How ironic. Peter, who doubted Jesus three times. Peter, who actually argued with Jesus here in the gospel, Master, we've already tried. Peter, who ultimately went with it and let it go to become one of the greatest followers of Jesus. He's human. So are you and I. Can we get over our fears and worries and today recognize the necessity to go deep? So my prayers to all of you again are, may each of you roll deep. May we treasure those relationships in our lives that are not fleeting. God gives us these people, our daughters, our daddies, to help us to navigate life. So Lord, bless that relationship and ultimately help us to see even bigger that the Lord gives us Jesus and God to protect us and to have our back. If we don't have a father, if we don't have a daughter, we still can enter into the project, of course, which is to have faith. You're not the Titanic. Let it go. Go into deep water. Lower your lifeboats. Lower your inhibitions. And we'll be on our way on this project of faith. May the Lord continue to guide you and lead you through difficult times, maybe even graduation and going into the ninth grade also. So God bless all the girls here, especially tonight, as we see girl power in action, doing its thing with the support and encouragement from their fathers.